This is episode number 20 with the founder of Five Star Painting and the CEO of ProNexus Call Center Solutions, Scott Abbott. Welcome to the Path to Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Wes Barefoot, where it's my mission to help aspiring entrepreneurs and existing business owners take control of their lives and create freedom for themselves through business ownership. Each episode, I'll be exploring the strategies and tactics of other successful entrepreneurs that have created freedom in their own lives while sharing what I'm learning along my own path to freedom. I'm glad you're here. Let's drop in. Hey everyone, this was a very fun episode for me, and I'm excited to share it with you all. My guest this episode is Scott Abbott. Scott is the founder of a franchise company called Five Star Painting, and in this episode, he tells the story of how he built Five Star Painting into well over 100 franchise locations across the U.S. and Canada, and grew it big enough to where it was acquired by the Dwyer Group, which is now called Neighbourly, which is one of the largest holding companies of franchise organizations in the home service space today. And Scott tells the story of how in preparation for starting Five Star Painting, he called over 1,000 different painting companies across the U.S. and literally less than 200 of those companies actually answered the phone when he called. And then on top of that, less than half of the companies that didn't answer the phone never even attempted to contact him back. So that was kind of the premise that Scott built Five Star Painting around. Their driving axiom was to be there when your customer is ready for you. And part of what made Five Star Painting so successful was the call center services that they provided for their franchisees so they could do just that. They could answer the phone when prospective clients reached out. They could be responsive, give them the information they need, and not have to play the phone tag game that so many businesses, especially in the service space, still play today. After selling Five Star Painting to Neighbourly, Scott kept the call center services and formed a company that is now called ProNexus and provides these same call center solutions to well over 20 different franchise organizations all in the home service space today. So in this episode, Scott shares his story of building the Five Star Painting Company, how he parlayed that experience into building a very large call center operation that provides tremendous support to numerous franchise companies across the country. Talks a little bit about why that type of support is so key for franchise business owners. And then on top of that, Scott has some fantastic advice and insight from his entrepreneurial career and everything that he's learned charting his own path to freedom. So I'm excited for you all to hear from Scott Abbott in this very interesting, very entertaining episode today. So with that, let's go ahead and drop in with Scott Abbott. Hey, Scott. How you doing today?
Doing wonderful, Wes. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for dropping into the Path to Freedom podcast with me. I really appreciate it. I'm excited.
Yeah, great to be here.
Well, and I got to say, I really appreciate it because you shared with me before we started recording that you're at your lake house up in Canada. So I can only imagine there's quite a bit enticing you to do outside on the lake. So really appreciate you sitting down with me for a little bit this morning.
Yeah, happy to do it.
So look, for the audience listening in that may not be familiar with you and your story, you know, I've gotten to know you just a little bit, you know, over the past couple of weeks, but have, you know, worked with one of your companies for a while now. But after learning a little bit more about your story, I mean, it's a fascinating entrepreneurial journey that you've kind of been on and continue on. So maybe share a little bit with the audience about, you know, how you got into being an entrepreneur and kind of what that's led you to up to this point.
Yeah, I'd love to share that with you. So, you know, be at the lake house, it's kind of interesting because it's kind of where my roots are at. I've been here on this lake, vacationing and creating traditions with my family since I was four. I'm looking out my window here at my cabin. I can see the beach that I waddled down to and played at as a very young lad. And part of my growing up, you know, our family of seven kids, we spent a lot of time in the outdoors, and one of our passions was fishing. And so, growing up, I was on the water between a month and 2 months of the year, doing some kind of fishing with my dad and siblings. Created a lot of great memories and great relationships, spending time together. Well, as I became a young man, you know, like any young man, you need to start making money for yourself. And my dad gave me that privilege to, you know, take on responsibilities and take on jobs to buy my own stuff. And, you know, age 11, 12, delivering flyers, running little paper routes,
yeah,
to find ways to make things meet. Well, when I was 15, I took a job at McDonald's to do, you know, just working at one of the tills. And that was my introduction to franchising. Okay. I very much remember, you know, the uniform, the training videos you had to go through. It was very systematized, understanding how that business worked at a young age. And while I was there, my father said to me, listen, you know, and he's an entrepreneur. He said, you know, listen, we love fishing together. I've found these really cool fishing baits that you can buy for. We hunt for something called muskie. It's the largest of all the freshwater fish predators, and very difficult to find. They're, you know, the fish of 1,000 casts is how they've been dubbed.
Okay.
And so he said, listen, I've got these amazing fishing baits I found in the States, the M&G and Stidham lures, and they don't have any distribution in Canada. I'll give you an office at my place. I'll give you access to, you know, a telephone. Here's a set of yellow pages. Let's go ahead and sell these fishing lures from the States. We'll bring them up to Canada and sell them to all the different fishing stores that we know.
Okay.
This place, Winnipeg, where I grew up. And, you know, that was really where it all began, because I realized at that point that with a little bit of hustle, you could start to make a living as a young man selling fishing tackle. And not just that, but Canada is kind of like the forgotten market for most companies in the United States. You know, they're so focused on what's happening down there that they're willing to give me exclusive distributor rights to their fishing tackle lines in Canada.
Yeah.
So as I grew older and into my 20s, at one point I had retail stores I was selling fishing tackle to from, I think it was 8 to 10 different fishing distributor manufacturers across Canada. So from British Columbia to Nova Scotia.
Wow.
And so at a very young age, I learned that, you know, you could work hard and hustle and make it happen. And, you know, I fast forward from there to the five-star painting story. It'd be probably my, I think, fifth venture in entrepreneurship.
Okay.
The first three, I learned very valuable lessons, and all of them were, you know, semi-successful in the sense that they paid some bills and stuff. But I never really understood how to create enough value that someone would be willing to pay me for that business when I'd finished my journey with it. So, with Five Star Painting, it was an interesting story. I did an undergrad in marketing and finance at the University of Manitoba. And I remember, a few occasions in summers, I'd go paint houses with some buddies of mine to make some extra money. And there was these businesses that they're called College Pro that, you know, we recruit heavily on campus and so forth.
Yep.
And I remember, this is probably my fourth year of my undergrad. So I was, you know, middle 20s, 26, 27, right around there. I entered a business plan competition. And my professor was, he came to me and said, you know, what's your idea? And I said, well, I want to create a painting company. I had this vision of creating a multinational painting company. And he just laughed at me. He's like, listen, if you want to win these business competitions, you need to be really innovative. And so, needless to say, I put the idea away. I made up some other silly idea that really was nonsense. I won four of the five business plan competitions I entered in BC and Idaho, Manitoba, and did really well on this idea that would never, ever, ever come to fruition. And then, fate had it that some very close friends of mine that I've grown up with, one of them I've known since he was 12 and is my current partner in almost all my business ventures, came into town for a friend's wedding. And at that wedding, they were talking about how they were running this painting business in Alberta. And they were struggling because as they tried to expand from Edmonton to Calgary and Saskatoon and Vancouver, all these Canadian cities, the businesses failed in every case. The model that was working for them in Edmonton wasn't replicating, and really it wasn't replicating because it came down to the employee they hired. Mm-hmm. And that local market didn't have any skin in the game. He took no risk. He was being paid a salary.
Sure.
If he sold some, he got paid some. If he sold nothing, he still got paid something. And so,
right. Yep.
And there's all kinds of issues from stealing customers and so forth. So as he's describing these problems to me at this wedding, I said, well, listen, I think I know how to solve this problem. It's a matter of just having skin in the game, having these guys really have an interest. We should franchise this painting business.
Yep.
And they looked at me and they said, well, what do you mean franchise it? What's franchising? I said, well, I don't really know, but I know that's how you have to do it. You got to convince them to pay you money to own the territory so they're committed. And once that happens, it solves all of our problems.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I actually launched two businesses in that same year. One was called Paintworks and the other one was called Five Star Painting. And I did that because I noticed that in this is 2004, almost all painting companies were using the yellow pages to get their customers. And they'd buy quarter page, half page ads, sometimes full page ads. And, this would cost, like in a market of Winnipeg, it would cost about $10,000 a month for a full page ad. It was $4,000 for a half page ad,
wow.
$3,000 for a quarter page ad a month. A lot of money. And I thought, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create two companies. I created a website for both of them. They were identical websites, just the colors were different and logos were different. And then I put tracking phone numbers on both of them. And then I created an ad for Paintworks that was very much like my main competitor, the number one competitor in painting in the franchising industry.
Okay.
And then I took another ad and I modeled it after what we thought worked, which we led with price. We told people they could get their house painted for $99 a room. And that evolved over time. The prices changed over time. But, we would just tell them up front, call now, get this great special. And for a 12 by 12 room with 8 foot ceilings, we can get your room painted for $99. Well, as you'd expect, the ad with the leading with price was different. No one else was doing it. It got four times the phone calls over the competing ad for the exact same company that did the same work. In fact, the same contractors, just a different website with a different name.
Yeah.
But it led with, high quality, on time, free estimates, the same thing that almost all painting companies promised. And so, I learned, you learn from that, obviously, that being different is critical.
Kind of used it to test the market a little bit and see which approach was more appealing.
Exactly. And that was also what gave us the leg up and we would go to sell franchises. We could tell people that we had proven results over 1 year of testing that our advertising would bring them more phone calls, thereby bringing their cost per lead down and making it more efficient. And so we would launch markets just off the yellow page ads we put up and then lawn signs. And, in that process of me launching that business, I actually called 1,000 painters. And in calling 1,000 painters on all their yellow page ads across North America, I found that there was something that was very common among all of them. Even though they're spending $5,000 to $10,000 a month on yellow page ads, only 20% of them answered their phones. So, I'm a smart enough guy to know that if I just got that right,
yeah,
I was already different by leading with price. Now, if I actually answered the phone and all these calls coming in,
you're ahead of the game.
Oh, way ahead. And so that really was the genesis for ProNexus.
Okay.
It was creating a superior customer experience. And I'll talk more about ProNexus in a little bit, but let me just kind of finish the five-star painting story.
Sure.
So from there, I put up a yellow lawn signs in the different markets we were in, and this is 2004, going to 2005. I decided to do my MBA as an executive, meaning I could start my business at the same time as complete an MBA, and I moved to Utah. And just in that summer of 2005 that I was with to make that move, a fellow named Alan Turner called up off of our lawn sign, had visited our website, and had been to a Yellow Page ad and saw the whole thing and said, hey, are you guys a franchise? Mm. And I'd been spending time with our co-founder developing all the legal work so that we could be a franchise.
Right.
Now, in Canada, franchising was different at the time. There wasn't registration provinces, it was called up there. And so we could sell a franchise in Manitoba as long as we had the correct franchise agreements.
Okay.
And so we had it just completed. Alan paid the franchise fee, the same price that people had paid up until the day I sold the business. Alan paid that for that very first location.
So he was franchisee and number one?
He was franchisee number one. The first one to pay, I should say. You know, we had locations that were corporate owned, but
right.
The first one to buy a franchise. He was 6'3", black belt in Kung Fu, nicest man, still a good friend. And he helped us launch. And so he grew his business in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I moved down to Utah, opened up in Utah. We had one of the founders move down to Vegas, opened up in Vegas. And so it kind of just kind of grew from there. Always at the center of our success, though, was this understanding of differentiation in the marketplace using our marketing skills, and then the customer experience, making sure we nailed that.
Yep.
So, you know, we became quickly one of the fastest growing companies in Utah, held those awards for 4 or 5 years in the running. And in 2004, Mike Bidwell, who was the CEO and president of Neighbourly, back then it was called Dwyer Group. I'd known him and Dina for several years before that, kept in touch. They didn't have a painting brand. We were growing really well. We had about 120 some franchisees when you included Brazil and the United States and Canada and Mexico. I think stateside we were 89 to 100 locations.
Okay.
And you know, we were growing really, really well. We were quite profitable. And so they bought the business. Now, a part of that, which is really interesting, is when they bought the business, you know, they looked at it and it was, you know, and I said to them at the time, I've not lost my passion or vision for what Feister Painting can become. I've got no interest in selling it all for cash. I was quite adamant that I would take as much stock as they'd give me in Neighbourly, mm-hmm. then called Dwyer, which they agreed to. I think that, and I believe, and Mike, I believe, told us to me that I was the very first company that they'd ever acquired that they let take ownership in Dwyer.
Wow.
And so the company is amazingly run. They have an amazing management team. They know what they're doing. And I knew that with Feister Painting being in their management, that they would excel, that they would do phenomenal. And the truth came to bear. I mean, look at it today. Feister Painting is over $100 million in system-wide sales, almost 200 locations. They are still growing. And when they bought the business, what was very interesting, and Mike taught me this lesson, he said, you know, Scott, we don't want to be charging franchisees fees for the call center and for the software and for the marketing. Because at the time, we did all their marketing and we charged them for it. We did all their call center work. We did all their software. We had our proprietary software to run the business because there really wasn't a painting software solution out there at the time.
Right.
We didn't make one. So we did all that and we also charged royalties, but and it would create some conflict. And this came up quite often, which is why Prenexus is so important. Franchisees would say, hey, I'm paying you 5% of my sales or 6% of my sales or whatever it is. Why aren't you doing the call center for free? Right? I'm paying you for these royalties. You should be doing the marketing for free. You guys grow when I grow. You know, I'm paying you for royalties. You should just give me the software.
Right.
And so it created these difficult conversations quite often.
Yep.
And Mike says, you just don't want to put your hand in the pocket of the franchisee too often. You've got to just keep it really clean. So we separated Prenexus. We kept all the technology, all the software, all the marketing tools and knowledge. We kept that separate. And then we sold it from Prenexus back to the franchisees and as a vendor. And so what I like about that is that it created something that was really important. In the past, franchisees felt like, A, they were owed these things, not just there's a bit of a conflict of interest in terms of how it's operating, right? You know, they'd ask, you know, how are you making money on me in the call center? Are you making money on me on the marketing stuff? The reality was we were losing money on both those. I lost money in my call center for 9-10 years straight.
Which is why you can't do it for free, because it's not free to provide the service, right?
It costs money. You have agents, you have technology, you have office space. It all costs money, right?
Absolutely.
But the reality was is that the franchisees felt like maybe I was making extra money on them. So we took care of that challenge. What else was interesting is that it's all about focus, right? When you are totally focused on something, whatever it is that you're focused on will do way better than if you're not focused on it. And when we started bringing our entire company to bear on just the ProNexus business model, we became more efficient. We were able to find a way to make money at the business as we grew and scaled. And we got way more innovative, like way more innovative. You know, it was all about taking the calls back then. Today, ProNexus is the entire customer experience, omni-channel. Think texting, think phone, think chat, think instant booking, on demand, through apps. Any way a customer wants to schedule an appointment or buy from a home service business, ProNexus is at the heart of that transaction, meeting the contractor and the home service homeowner. So ProNexus is, you know, we grew after we spun that out and focused our energy on it. We've grown, it's 4 or 5x what we were in January of 2015. Our monthly revenue is actually about 6x that now. And so, wow. You know, it's and that comes from the focus of being completely locked in and how do we make sure that these home service franchise concepts have a killer solution that addresses all their problems around connecting with their customers.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, you know, when you were talking about the kind of the origins of Five Star and how you very early on identified that, you know, that client experience, that first interaction that the client has when they call, that's so key. And you called 1,000 different painting companies, only 20% of them answered the phone. That's crazy. But, you know, me knowing what I know about these service businesses, it's not surprising at all. And it's not usually because these companies don't want to answer the phone. It's because they don't have the ability to. They don't have the right systems and processes in place so that when clients are reaching out to them, they have someone there that's dedicated to answering the phone. And, you know, so I think it was very, very wise of you to identify that so early on and then focus on it. And that's why, you know, I think some of these home service franchises tend to do so well is they come into very fragmented industries where typically, you know, the companies operating in this industry, whatever the industry is, they're not very sophisticated. They don't have systems and processes. And so a good franchise organization is able to bring a level of sophistication, great systems and processes to that. And all of that results in a better client experience, which then leads to obviously more business won, but also loyalty, referrals, all of these things that can help a business continue to grow over time. And that's, I wanted to circle back to a couple of things just for anyone in the audience that may not be clear. So Neighbourly, formerly Dwyer, for those that may not be familiar, Neighbourly is probably about the biggest holding company of franchise concepts out there, at least that I'm aware of. So you probably know better than I do, but I think Neighbourly has, 20-some different franchise brands that they own at this point, all focused on home service in some form or fashion. What am I leaving out there, Scott?
Yeah, they are, you know, they are, I believe, the biggest at this point and definitely one of the best. And they, you know, I think it's 20, they just bought another brand the other day. They bought Housemaster, they announced about a month ago. So in a home inspection franchise concept. And so almost every vertical, they're trying to cover them all.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just to give a little more context to ProNexus, because I think you've referenced them, but give us like a 30-second kind of overview of exactly what ProNexus does and who your clients are at ProNexus.
Yeah, happy to do that. So I think it's really important to distinguish something because you brought up something really important about, you know, home service contractors and you know, getting to their phones. Here's the reality. A home service contractor has a few options to operate with, right? One, they can answer the phones themselves. Our research shows that if an owner operates the business himself, they'll answer the phone 20 to 30% of the time, two-thirds of the time roughly. They can't get to it. Why? Because they are simply on the tools, meeting with customers and they're meeting with employees. They're busy. If something goes to voicemail, you're in trouble. So that contractor or franchisee has a couple options. One is to hire someone full time and they'll spend roughly $35,000, $40,000 a year for an assistant who will give them 40 hours a week. But there are roughly 164 hours a week total, 160 hours a week total that people could call of those, we found that outside of the 9 to 5 traditional time periods, even with a full-time person, 35% of your phone calls will arrive when there is no one at your office. So yep. at 5:01, at 8:59, at 12:30 at lunch break, on the weekend, it's incredible the amount of volume I'm handling on Saturdays and Sundays on behalf of our clients. It is, you know, if you combine Saturday and Sunday, you'd have a Monday. That's how many calls we're handling on the weekend, okay? And Monday typically is the busiest day of the week for phone calls. So they could go ahead and hire someone and pay $40,000 for it to get that 40 hours, or they could hire ProNexus and it would cost them $600-$700 for 168 hours, right? So right there, that's the secret. I mean, you're paying, you know, what is that, 1/8 what you would pay, and you get over 4x the coverage. And what we've seen happen is they have, you know, the other option is you could hire a competing center or a call answering service. Now, we used to use a call answering services overflow in the early days of Five Star Painting when we just didn't have this, you know, the resources to have 24/7 support. And I was so frustrated with message taking. And in this, that was back in 2005, okay?
Yeah.
Today, customers want things now. They've been trained to get things on demand. If they call you and you say, let me get your information, I'll call you back, you have a very high probability of losing that customer, the person who answered the phone on the next phone call.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you could pay for an answering service, $150 a month and whatever it is for minutes. So you're going to pay $300 a month, let's say, for just someone taking a message for you. And you're paying for minutes. ProNexus, the way we do things is we charge by success. So I only bill when we actually set an appointment or make a sale. That distinguishment is very unique because it completely, well, first of all, no one else does it. Second, it aligns interests, which is one of the critical pieces of any business and partnership. If you and I both want the same thing, then we're aligned. If you want an appointment or a sale, and I want an appointment or a sale, then everything I do in my company is we focus around how to make an appointment or a sale, because that's how I grow. It has so much alignment that two things happen in my business that I find is incredible to this day even. One, we're constantly using analysts to go through and find ways to improve our conversion rates, okay, which helps your ROI as you're spending money on advertising. That is wonderful for both of us. Second, I find myself often working with different partners to increase my clients' lead flow.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I get very innovative with these different partners in marketing. So marketing ad agencies that come to me and say, listen, I'd love to do work with your clients. They say, they want to do work with you, but we got to get innovative. Well, you do it on a performance basis. So yeah. You spend the money, you make the phone ring, I'll take the call, I'll convert it. And we only charge my client when I actually book the sale. And it's incredible what's happened. We've innovated with different marketing partners in this way, some in certain verticals, some incredible programs that are really serving the franchisees,
yeah.
Taking risk away from them and trying to find out if whether or not the right ad agency will do good work for them, taking that risk away, removing all of that and saying, let's just grow your business. And now their challenges I hear are more along the lines of, I need more people to yep. work and yeah. less along the lines of, can I find a customer?
But I'd rather have that problem all day long, you know, needing yeah. more people to keep up with demand. So I'm curious, because I love the kind of pay for performance model, right? And for the record, you know, my wife and I are Shelf Genie franchisees. Shelf Genie works with ProNexus. So ProNexus handles all of our calls that come in from prospective clients, books appointments for our salespeople to go out. You guys do a fantastic job. It's a big part of why we got into Shelf Genie as franchisees. I was fortunate early in my career in franchising. I worked for a home service franchise company. I worked in their corporate office or home office where they didn't have a call center of any sort. They didn't have it internally. They didn't have one that they outsourced to. Very similar to what we do at Shelf Genie, which is outbound marketing, results in inbound leads. Goal is schedule a free in-home consultation. Well, to your point, 2/3 of the time, at least, the franchisees weren't even getting the phone answered when someone reached out. Most of them, when they started out to try to keep their overhead costs lower, franchise owner had all of the inbound leads routed to their cell phone, right? Mm-hmm. So to your point, they're in meeting with a potential client, they're meeting with a team member, they're doing something, they're missing calls when they're coming in. So then a lot of them would evolve to the point where they could afford to hire a full-time person. Usually it was an office manager, and one of their responsibilities was to answer the phone. It wasn't their sole responsibility, though. So to your point you made earlier, they didn't have coverage, you know, kind of around the clock throughout the week. But in addition to that, if that one person's on the phone and another call comes in, well, the other call is not getting answered. And what we also found was for this person that, again, was usually hired as more of an office manager, they had all types of responsibilities that they had throughout the day, right? The phone ringing became a disruption in this list of other things that they felt like they needed to get done throughout the day. So, you know, the client or the prospective client wasn't getting a great experience even when they did answer the phone. And so, you know, to me, from a Shelf Genie franchisee perspective, I love what you guys do at ProNexus. To me, I look at it as one of the single most critical aspects of our business, but it's also one of the most time consuming, right? So it's not the best use of my time, not the best use of my wife's time who runs the day-to-day of the business, certainly not the best use of anyone that's on our team actually working on revenue generating activities. But you guys have a singular focus, which is answer the phone and then get the desired result from that phone call, which in our case is book a free in-home consultation. And you guys do a spectacular job of that. And you don't need to, you know, do anything else for us. That's not what we're looking to get out of it. So I just wanted to kind of make that point because I've seen firsthand, you know, how difficult it can be for, you know, a small business owner to try to manage all of these different components. And I had somewhere else I was going with that, but it totally slipped my mind. But I mean, from my perspective, the service that you guys offer at ProNexus, it's invaluable and it's really necessary. And the way that, you know, I coach people when they're looking at a franchise opportunity, when it comes to the extra fees, right? Because everyone's trying to crunch the numbers and they're like, well, I got fees over here, I've got fees over here. It's like, it's a simple equation, right? Figure out what it would cost you to go out and do that on your own versus the fees that you pay by being a franchisee. And if the value's not there, then it's probably not a good opportunity, right? What we pay to ProNexus over the course of the year is dramatically less than what we would pay to hire a full-time person to do it. And the results are much better. And that's how to look at it, I think, with any franchise opportunity, whether it's the franchisor providing the support or they're outsourcing it to a company like ProNexus. It's a simple equation, and good franchises, they're adding value to their franchisees by reducing the cost for critical yet time-consuming support, just like, you know, call center services. Wes here. You may have noticed there's a franchising theme to this podcast, and that's because franchising's had a massive impact on my life, and it's the very reason I'm walking my own path to freedom. In fact, one of my companies is a franchise consulting company where I work with people to help them understand franchising and determine if it might be a good fit for them. And if it is something they want to explore, then I help them navigate the entire investigative process and ultimately find a franchise business that's a great match for them. You know, the fact of the matter is there are thousands and thousands of franchise businesses out there today. And like anything, there are good ones and there are bad ones. Even out of the many, many great franchise companies, not every one of them would necessarily be a good fit for you. You know, buying a franchise is a huge decision and you don't want to wing it. I've helped many people buy franchise businesses over the years, and my wife and I have bought and owned franchises today, and we plan to keep investing in franchise businesses. I love helping people understand this process and help them find a business that's going to be a great fit for them and help them accomplish their goals and ultimately create that freedom in their life that we're all looking for. The best part of all of this is that my services are free to the people I work with. And while I do love to contribute to charities and other great causes, I'm not a nonprofit. I'm compensated by the franchise companies I work with when I introduce them to someone that ends up becoming one of their franchisees. It's very similar to real estate, but with franchises. I have the privilege of working with hundreds and hundreds of the best franchise companies out there across practically every industry. So I can be absolutely confident that when I recommend someone to look at a franchise company, I'm introducing them to a very credible and proven company with a solid business model and great support. So if you think you might be interested in learning more about franchising and seeing if it might be right for you, I'd love to speak with you. Get in touch with me by email at wes@path2freedom.com, path2frdm.com. And also check out my website at path2freedom.com, spelled the same way, where I've got a ton of resources, both franchise and non-franchise related, that will help you start down your own path to freedom. And of course, subscribe to and follow the podcast for more great advice about business ownership. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in speaking with me, please share this podcast with them. Thanks for listening to my shameless plug. Now let's drop back into the episode.
I'd love to ask you a question if you don't mind.
Sure.
In your experience as a franchisee, what would you say has been your, what has been the biggest one-time project you've ever had in revenue, total gross revenue from that one customer?
From one project. So in our Shelf Genie franchise, it's about
$20,000.
$20,000. Yeah.
This happened one time to us. I when I go to speak at different events, I'll ask in almost all these events, franchisees, what their biggest customer they ever had was. And people want to brag about that, right? Because that one big whale they landed.
Sure.
In the painting business, off of one phone call, I want to say it was $350,000 or
$400,000. Oh.
Okay.
That's a call you don't want to miss.
That's exactly my point. If that, can you imagine that whale just decided to phone your business and it said, and they wanted to hire you and it went to voicemail? Like I cringe.
Yeah.
I cringe at the thought. And so it's what's been motivating me since day one, because I realized I was so close to it, the value of one phone call, how much value that could be. The idea of missing that one phone call just drives me insane. So we operate at service levels that are better than Porsche and Lamborghini and Amex and all, and the best brands in the world.
Yeah.
We look at those service levels and we go, no, we have to go higher than that because it's so valuable to the customer. So.
No, it's such a good point. And you referenced this earlier, but I think it's worth hitting on again. We live in such an on demand, society these days, right? So from a consumer's perspective, if they do call a company and they get an answering service that's just going to take a message, or if they leave a voicemail or they're waiting for follow-up, especially in the type of businesses we're talking about, home service, the expectations are pretty low from a consumer standpoint, because most consumers or homeowners have had a bad experience with a service company just never following up, never calling them back. So if they leave a message, whether that's voicemail or, with an actual person, chances are they're not expecting a call back, right? So when they hang up the phone, they're just going to the next company that comes up on the list, wherever they're looking, and they're going to call them. They're going to call until they get someone on the phone that can answer their questions or schedule someone to come out or whatever the case is. So, I think you have to really understand from the consumer's perspective what they're looking at. And in this day and age, they're looking for on-demand answers and actions. And you can't do that if you're not answering the phone when they call. So, I love what you guys do. It's a fantastic service.
And I just want to speak to one other thing, because I think a lot of service businesses are behind on this, which is why I'll bring it up. Most home service businesses, everything we've talked to about so far has been about the phone call, right? Whether that's inbound or following up with leads that come you buy from Home Advisor or Porch or other partners like that. And that is important. I'm not going to diminish that. But texting has become so critical. And so the business for home service businesses has gotten more and more complicated. Before, you could just place a phone number out there and take phone calls. Now you have to be able to take a phone call, respond to a text within less than a minute.
Yep.
If you don't, you're not engaged and the person knows it. Respond to email within less than a few minutes. Answer and respond with chat. Why aren't you publishing your estimator's calendar online to allow for an instant book? All these things is part of what consumers now want.
Yep.
And I've said this many times, like to a home service contractor, if it was me running that business, I'd have on every ad, text or call.
Mm-hmm.
Have a phone number that's textable. We respond to all those texts. We handle them all. Thousands a day we're handling on behalf of our clients. And we're landing jobs. People don't need to call any longer. We are booking work. We're scheduling appointments all via text.
Yeah. A lot of people would prefer not to call these days. I mean, I'm busy. I'm on the phone pretty much all day. If I can, you know, knock something off of my to-do list by sending a text instead of having to, you know, actually pick up the phone, I'll take that option every single time. So, and I think it's about giving your prospective clients options, right? Not everyone prefers to communicate in the same way. So, you know, but understanding what those different preferences are and then making that an option. And I mean, that's a great point. I don't think we have the text option on any of our Shelf Genie ads. You know, that's a good point. I think that's something that we need to look closely at and figure out how we can get that implemented.
We can do it for you. We'd love to.
I love it. Awesome. Well, look, man, this has been awesome. And I want to, while I've got you, you know, just kind of pick your brain a little bit more generally speaking when it comes to entrepreneurship, because, you know, as you know, I work with a lot of people that, you know, they've got this drive and this motivation to get into business for themselves. You know, part of what I'm able to help with is just to give them some direction in terms of how they could go about doing that. Obviously, I specialize in franchising and just kind of help them navigate what could be a very overwhelming process. And so in my experience doing that, the one thing that comes up with every single person that I work with, and this is just human nature, they run into this fear, this uncertainty, this doubt, you know, when it comes to taking a risk like going into business for yourself. And I work with a lot of people that, you know, have spent at least a portion of their career usually in corporate America. So they've had the kind of, you know, I'm going to do this in air quotes, but the stability of a job and kind of the predictability of a stable income. So that in a lot of cases for those types of people can make this risk of, you know, going into business for themselves, maybe a little bit bigger, at least in their eyes. So, you know, you're it sounds like a lifelong entrepreneur, but I can only imagine you haven't been immune to the same fear, uncertainty, and doubt. You've started a lot of different ventures. What advice would you give to someone listening in that, you know, they're right there on the cusp of kind of making that leap into entrepreneurship, but it's that fear, uncertainty, and doubt that's holding them back a little bit? How have you been able to push through that in your career?
Yeah, great, great question. And maybe I should just point this out that, you know, while I have been an entrepreneur since quite young, in between a business venture that didn't work out and Vicer Painting, I worked in an accounting firm.
Okay.
And so I was there for about 2 years, a year and a half, actually. And first of all, I found out that I was incredibly unhappy.
Yeah.
While I did enjoy the challenge of the new business environment and I loved the people I was working with, I wasn't building something that I was in love with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, I'm a very passionate individual. I believe you should follow your passions. It's where you find happiness. And so it wasn't very long until, I think within 6 months of starting that job, I began formulating Vicer Painting and getting to work on that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, when I look at my wife loved the stability of the paycheck.
Sure. I mean,
who wouldn't love that, right?
No doubt.
No, but when we look at that, we think it's no risk. I don't think that's true at all. I believe if you're working for someone, we'll call them the man or the woman.
Yeah.
When you're doing that, you are simply giving up control of your future and even your employment. Look what just happened with COVID and the unemployment rates and how people lost their jobs.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. We're fooling ourselves if we're thinking that by working for someone, you're somehow safer.
Yeah.
Okay. So Warren Buffett has brought it up. You know, you need to invest in yourself. You're the one thing that you should be investing in all the time, because you're going to stick around. It's you. You can't go anywhere. You can't be separated from yourself.
100%.
So you need to be investing in yourself and betting on yourself. And is there anyone you should have more confidence in than yourself?
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, while the fear, the uncertainty, the doubts that creep in, in my mind, that happens, and I've had those happen on many occasions with different ventures or different things I was doing. Creating habits and doing things that help build confidence that spill over into business decisions. So, you know, as an example, you should have a good workout regimen. You should be getting fit. You should be running. You should be doing things to keep yourself strong mentally. Yep. I, as part of my daily and weekly regiment, For example, this morning I woke up and I do breath holds. I do breathing exercises first thing in the morning. It gives me about 10 to 15 minutes of meditation time.
Yep.
And it makes me do something hard every morning. I can now hold my breath to almost 5 minutes.
Wow, and by, really?
Yes. And by doing that, I am allowing myself to meditate,
yeah,
clear my mind, and also do something difficult. I do cold showers. That's it.
I love it.
Every morning.
I've done a podcast episode just about why you should do cold showers. I started it a couple years ago, and I haven't missed a day.
It's hard at first, right?
And
especially in Utah when it's really cold outside and you turn that water on, it's first thing in the morning. I still cringe with the idea of getting into that 40 degree temperature water.
Yeah.
When I came here to my lake house, the ice had just come off, and it was I had my two boys with me. We had a quarantine at the cabin for 15 days because up here in Canada that was required.
Uh-huh.
We arrived on May 1st. Ice came off the day before. Water temperature was 34 degrees Fahrenheit. Very cold. I said to the boys, and I got my drone out and cell phone and GoPro, and we videotaped the whole thing. I said, we're going to do a polar bear plunge. And mentally, right, what you have to do, the fear, mm-hmm, uncertainty, how cold is it going to feel? All that's there. And helping my boys get over that and doing that together. And we did it like 9 times.
Jumping in,
went to the sauna, went in again. And in doing that, it's like anything, you know, that stuff spills over into your business decisions.
It does.
There are difficult decisions you have to make in business, difficult things you have to do every day. And you need the mental fortitude to simply quiet that self-talk that is negative or is creating doubt and take control of your mind and do things that you know you need to do.
I love this, man. I could sit here and talk about this with you all day because it's something I've seen work in my own life. And so I do in addition to these kind of interview form podcasts, I put out a short episode every Monday called Mindset Monday. So I've done an episode about cold showers, right? And there's all types of like real physical benefits from doing the cold showers, sure, right? But yep, more so than anything, for me at least, it's the mental training that I think I've benefited from. Because to your point, like I know I feel great physically after a cold shower. It sucks, yep, while I'm doing it, but I know I feel good afterwards. But it doesn't matter. Every morning when it's time to crank that nozzle to cold, my mind's screaming like, don't do it. You don't have to do it today. Like, just take a day off. And so I think it's that mental training of like cranking that nozzle cold anyways. And it does. It spills over into everything else that you do, whether you realize it or not. It's like working out. You're training, yeah, that muscle of getting uncomfortable, even though you don't want to. And then I love kind of how you look at risk, right? I did another short episode, and I think the title of it was Redefining Risk. And I used the exact same Warren Buffett quote that I think you're referencing about investing in yourself. And, you know, for so many people, they have this false sense of security that, you know, working, you know, having a good job with a salary and the benefits and everything that comes with that is less risky and it's more stable. And to your point, it's not. You're giving up control. You're putting someone else in control of your livelihood. And, you know, look, these companies they're just that, they're companies, right? So if it comes down to you or the bottom line, guess what? They choose the bottom line every time, right? It's not personal. It's what they have to do as a company. And COVID's a perfect example. So many people that I'm sure were very good at their jobs, probably even top performers, they lost their jobs due to something that's completely outside of their control, you know, yeah, something like a pandemic. And so it just goes back to show that, you know, you don't really have hardly any control as an employee working for someone else. Is it risky to start a business? Sure it is. But in my opinion, if you have confidence in yourself, it's a lot less risky than giving up all that control to someone else. I mean, you know, COVID had impacts on our businesses, but I'll tell you one thing that never happened. My wife and I never sat down at dinner one night and said, hey, you think we should lay ourselves off? Maybe that's what we should do. You know, that conversation never happened. It wasn't an option, right? We were going to figure out how to plow through, you know? So I love that. And it just ties into the way I think about things. And it's a mindset shift, right? I mean, I had to go through that mindset shift. I mean, I worked for companies for years before, you know, we were completely out on our own and independent. But I think it's great advice. And I think just, you know, like you said, consciously you know, doing things on a daily basis that are going to help you be poised when you do find yourself coming up against that fear, uncertainty, and doubt so that you can push through it. I love that. And that'll kind of tie into, so I do a lightning round of questions. It's four questions that I ask every single guest that comes on. So one of those questions will tie in, I think, to some of what you were talking about here in just a minute. But before we do that, I got to ask you, so the breathing exercises you do, are you a Wim Hof follower?
That's a great question. So I read the book, What Doesn't Kill Us, mm-hmm. by Scott Carney. And he obviously follows Wim Hof and that entire program. It's what got me into doing the breathing exercises, doing the cold showers and stuff like that. I don't really follow Wim Hof. I don't like watch it. I watch some of his videos just to learn how to do this stuff. But but I do believe in general in what he's talking about, right? Yeah. Which is this idea of having, you know, putting yourself into uncomfortable situations intentionally.
Yeah.
So that when you are in uncomfortable situations, through no fault of your own, you are comfortable.
Yep.
So
I got to do more of the breathing exercises. I've done some of it, and I'll do it like before I turn my shower cold. I'll do like the kind of shorter breathing exercises, but I'd be in trouble if I had to hold my breath for 5 minutes. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's not something I you know, it's something you work up to. You don't do it the first try.
Yeah, that's for sure. No doubt. That's cool. All right, so we'll hit the lightning round real quick, and then I'll let you go. You've been very generous with your time, and I really appreciate it. First question for the lightning round is simply, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received? And that can be in business or, you know, in your personal life as well.
Yeah, I mean, I invest in yourself. I mean, you need to take care of yourself, self-care, right? And I've heard that in more words or less words from many people I really respect for years. And it's, you have to be right with yourself first, get that straightened out, and then you can kind of change the world.
No doubt. It's great advice. And I love asking the same questions to everyone that comes on the podcast, because for me, I get to kind of pick up on these themes of very successful entrepreneurs. And that's certainly, you know, I think just about everyone that's come on the podcast in some form or fashion has talked about the importance of taking care of yourself, both physically and mentally, if you're going to, you know, accomplish big things in your life. All right. So this is the one that might tie into the breathing exercises. So you've hit on some of this already, but, you know, do you have a morning routine, something that you try to do every single morning to prime yourself for a successful day? And if so, do you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah. I mean, I'll go into two different routines. I've already spoken about one of them, but yeah, every morning I wake up, you know, I'm Christian. So for me, meditation is the equivalent of also praying. Mm-hmm. But I do my breath holds while lying in bed. I wake up. The first thing I do is I start to go through my breath holds.
Okay.
Lasts about 15 minutes. I do 5 minutes of gratitude in my meditation or prayers. I spend 5 minutes only thanking for the things I have. That's it. And that helps me change my mindset around abundance and how wonderful this world is and my life is. And that has helped me be a more positive individual. But in business, you know, once I get past that in the shower and everything else and get to the office, it's what are the three most important things I have to do today? I still, you know, I've tried it in different versions using my iPad or my cell phone or digital devices or computers, but I have a good old pad of paper right here. And on this pad of paper, I write down the first three things I have to get done today that are the most important things. And that stays there. I don't stop working until those three things are done. I have lots of other things I have to work on, obviously, that I still get to do, but there's three things that are really important.
Yeah. I love that. That actually came up on, I think it was the last podcast I did. Same thing, which is, what are the three things that if I do these three things today, I could call it a day and it would still be a successful day. And I asked the specific question, how do you do that? And it was pen and paper. And I think there's something to the action of actually writing it out that just makes it sink in and resonate a little bit more. I love the gratitude piece as well. You should check it out if you're not familiar with it. It's called the 5 Minute Journal. That's what I use every day. And it's templated out, right? But every morning you write down three things you're grateful for, kind of your three most important things that you want to happen that day or you want to make happen that day, an affirmation. And then you use it in the evening as well to write three things, three amazing things that happened that day and something you could have done to make it a better day. But for me, it's been great because it kind of keeps me in that routine of gratitude every single morning. It's part of my morning routine as well. So thanks for sharing that with us. What book are you reading right now?
So it's right here. I actually don't normally read books. I read the Kindle.
Yeah.
But this is the book called by Andrew Grove, Only the Paranoid Survive.
Okay.
Kind of interesting title. It's a story of Intel and how they went through some serious crisis, and how Andrew navigated that as a CEO and dealing with what was he thought was a very minor thing that completely blew up in his face.
Wow.
And
okay.
It's really interesting because I believe I'm not going to say I'm paranoid, and obviously the title isn't advocating that we should be paranoid.
Right.
But I do believe that you need to be, you know, have a very heightened awareness of risks that can be present in a business, and to be very decisive around when things happen and go wrong. And a great example of this has been what we just all experienced with COVID in March, mm-hmm. right? And I've learned in business that you need to be very decisive around problems. You know, it's important to be optimistic. We'll make it. But if you're not decisive and doing things that can make sure you set yourself up for success, you can be met with failure. And so this book goes into that, and I've really enjoyed some of the ideas around just making sure that, you know, you're looking at risks and what the possibilities of those risks are and those threats, and then dealing with them and addressing them. And if it's a hard thing, you're mentally strong to handle
that
stuff and make sure you can help lead the company forward.
Well, I'll have to add that to the list. It sounds like something that would be right up my alley. And I love learning concepts like that through real life examples and stories, you know, told by other people that have lived through or gone through similar experiences. So that sounds very interesting. Last and final question, and then I promise I will let you go. What is your definition of freedom, and are you living it?
You know, I don't think I've ever really thought this through as much as, or been intentional about it as I probably should, but I will say that for me is it's the freedom to do whatever you want to do. You may not choose to do it, right? I choose to work every day. I don't have to work
yep.
every day. I choose to. Why? Because I love what I do and I'm passionate about it. I have the freedom financially and through this great country I live in to do whatever it is I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's that ability. And it's funny how, at least in my experience, you know, when I was younger, I was always about having financial freedom so that I could do whatever I wanted to do and not have to work if I didn't want to work. And then I got to that financial freedom and I realized, but I actually love working and I love doing what I'm doing. So actually, I've been living a very similar life for the last 15 years. It hasn't changed very much. Other than I spend more time now with my family than I used to.
Yeah.
I still follow things I'm very passionate about, and I absolutely love it.
So quick follow-up question to that, because I have to. Would you say that you were able to get to the point of having that financial freedom because you got into a business that you were passionate about, and that's why you had that level of success?
You know, for me personally, look, I ran a painting company.
Right.
Okay. I'm running a call center.
Right. Not the sexiest businesses in the world.
Do these sound sexy to you?
No.
No.
Kind of like custom pull-out shelving?
Yeah. I used to sell fishing tackle.
Yeah.
Okay. I do real estate. I mean, these aren't sexy businesses. But what I'm passionate about is creating value for people. I love creating value for people and whatever it is I'm doing, whether it is giving someone a home that is a wonderful home to live in real estate, or an office space, or painting their house, or answering their phones, or providing software. It doesn't matter what it is. I love creating value in all those different things. And so a younger version of myself, I didn't have the financial freedom to just stop working and do whatever I wanted. But, you know, where I am today, I can tell you I am no more happier today than I was 15 years ago. Okay. Once you get money, you realize you never needed it.
Right.
Okay. you need it to survive. I'm not going to diminish the fact you have to have a roof over your head and food and the basic needs, but you can get that by just trading your time for money at any job, and then follow your passion doing whatever it is you want. But for me, realizing that do what you love to do and put your heart and soul into something and build something and create something and wherever that is. And franchising allows people to do that and de-risks so much of that process of uncertainty that exists around, if you want to start a painting company, it's like life's a big, gigantic puzzle. Okay. And you got to unlock the code, and franchising goes and unlocks most of the code for you.
Yep.
Gives you a puzzle 80% solved and says, now you do the 20% to get you the rest of the way. And so that's why franchising is so amazing. And then gives people that vehicle to achieve financial freedom, which is what everyone wants to have, but in doing it in a way that they can de-risk the whole process for a small amount of money.
It's very well put. That's very well put. I mean, it doesn't mean you don't have to put in the work. That's the 20% that you were just talking about. That's actually putting in the work as the franchise owner, but the system, the processes, the support, that's all in place. And as a franchisee, you benefit from all the mistakes the franchisor and the franchisees before you have made. So you eliminate a lot of the trial and error that you would typically have in, more of a startup type business environment. So Scott, man, this has been complete gold. I can tell you one thing for certain, you've created a ton of value for anyone that's going to listen to this podcast. I've thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you a little bit. I hope that I can continue to get to know you better. And, thanks for everything that you do with your company at ProNexus. I know it's helped our businesses out in a huge way. So I appreciate you. And thanks so much for dropping in on the Path to Freedom podcast with me.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for dropping in with me on this episode of the Path to Freedom podcast. I hope you got a ton of value and learned something new. And if you did, please make sure to subscribe and follow the Path to Freedom podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And also, please share with someone else that may also get value from it. And if you're interested in learning more about how you can take steps to getting into business for yourself, I'd love to speak with you. Connect with me online at pathtofreedom.com. That's path, the number two, FRDM.com, or shoot me an email at wes@pathtofreedom.com, spelled the same way. And if you know anyone else that may be interested in speaking with me, I'd love to meet them. Please forward this podcast along to them and encourage them to reach out. Thanks again for joining me today, and I'll see you next time. Now go drop in.